This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Everybody, welcome to the official season opening of season 6 of Core Noir. We're calling this one Sins of the Father. The last episode you heard us, we were just kind of wrapping up season 5, getting into 6, kind of trying to fit those pieces, put them together, and kind of get us into this new season. We're going to be looking at we are going to be looking at trying to find Jane and try to find Jane's father and reunite them. But before we do that, let's kind of talk about, like, before George leaves. Like, I'm sure there's going to be some things that George is going to want to do, you know, before they leave. It's just like when you leave for a big trip, it's like, obviously you gotta, you know, if you're going on like a vacation, you're like, okay, did I feed the cat? Did I pay this month's rent? Did I water the flowers kind of thing? Like, I feel like with George being a PI, he's got to like, okay, I got to talk to, Janice about, make sure that, you know, take some phone calls for me. Just tell them that I'm out of town on a case, that kind of thing. If you had, pay your rent or whatever, do that. But also there's probably some things in your PI life that you want to do before you go on this big search for Jane's dad. So, So where to first, or what are we doing first? How about that?
So I have a question, I guess, before we start, cause I have just like a buttload of XP to spend.
That's okay. I'm all full of answers.
So I'm thinking maybe could I spend XP to increase my research from 1 to 2?
Oh, well, of course you could. I mean, you're basically at the end of this character's career, so why wouldn't you put it into something that he needs?
Right. Yeah, that's especially based on what we've been talking about. So so let me go ahead and spend that. And bump that up by 1. So that'll be good. Oh, so this is, I had split those. All right. Well, I'm just going to move this down here on the sheet.
So when you went from a 1 to 2, just because, again, we play Core as our main RPG or whatever, like going from a 1 to 2, how much XP does that cost you?
It actually only costs 10. Wow. Which I was looking at beforehand. So Todd, when he did the update for Core Micro, stripped everything down to the barest essentials. You could pick up Core Micro on DriveThruRPG. The increase went from 0 to 1 is 10, and from 1 to 2 is 10, but 2 to 3 is 20. So they scaled down a little bit because you're going to use, spend that XP, use those skills more often on that lower level. But, you know, to get something from a 5 to a 6, it's 200 XP, right? So gives you a little bit more functionality on the low end by allowing you to increase those bonuses, which are going to increase your potential, high rolls, right? Because you're going to add, so I'll add a +2 whatever I roll. So it is quite a bit for a little bit of XP, but more user friendly, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like it is. And that, even though it seems like, going from a 1 to a 2 there and only having to spend that 10 points seems like, wow, that's really cheap and it's really easy to bump that up. But like, it depends upon the GM that's actually doing, or DM or whatever you want to call it, that's doing whatever you're playing with Core Micro. Like, I could always, we're getting to this finale of this game and like, there's going to be some things that are going to be harder. So I could be like, well, this is going to be really hard. So it's going to be like a 6 or a 7. So like that 2, even though is good to add to it, like you're still going to have to roll a good roll to get to that point.
Right. You still roll 3 ones.
Yes, exactly. And that's very easy to do when you're rolling dice, if anybody's ever rolled dice, which people that are probably listening to this have done.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that out of the way, I think after, an emotional night, with Jane kind of assimilating all of this, probably shocking information, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, she knew that he left and all this stuff, but to find out, all this minutia, a little rough. So he leaves her to collect herself, in the morning after breakfast or whatever, and we'll head over to, I guess, probably goes to the office first.
Okay. I feel
like that makes sense. Check in over there, see what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'd been out of the office for a few days already anyway, so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you get into the office. It's a nice morning. No rain, no inclement weather or anything like that. Just because I forget, and you always seem to remember, what time of the year is it right now? I always seem to forget that.
I believe it's October.
Okay, all right. So it's going to be a little on the chillier side because it's New York, but let's say it's
Tuesday.
Okay, nice. Tuesdays are particularly warm usually in New York, I've heard. So it's a little, again, for New York or for any state, it's probably chillier because it's in October or whatever. For the Northeast states, I should say. But it's actually pretty nice outside. Sun's shining, not too cold. If you have a nice blazer on or a suit coat, you're not going to be too chilly. You walk in, Janice actually seems very perky this morning. She's cleaning up a bunch of stuff. Coffee's in the coffee pot, percolated and ready to go. Everything looks fairly neat today. Like she's in a great mood. And she's saying, hey, boss.
Hey, kid, how's it going? You've been at it since early this morning, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's been a good day.
Oh, yeah? What's going on?
I went on a date last night.
Oh, did you? Good for you.
I did. Let's just say it went very well.
Oh, I'm glad for you. Where'd you meet this guy?
I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, but I'm an avid bowler. So, this Anderson's Lanes that I kind of bowl at or whatever, I met this gentleman there. His name is Gregory, and he's sweet.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. And she's just kind of humming as she's like kind of cleaning up and kind of getting some paperwork done or whatever. And she says, a couple calls for you. I've got one from Brian just calling to check up to see how you've been doing. He says it's been a long time. And one from
Brian's on my list of things to do today.
And she says, there is a client that's looking for something. If you have a chance, it's not pressing. It's just something that they want to look into. It is a mother that thinks that their husband is cheating on them.
$5 says he already that he is.
And she says, I think that's probably why it's not pressing, because I think she's looking to investigate things a little bit herself.
Oh, okay. I'll give her a call. Things have been quiet otherwise around here.
Yeah, actually, it's weird because usually it feels like the phones are kind of off the hook every once in a while. A little thing here, a little thing there. But I don't know. Maybe she kind of like finds like a desk and knocks on the wood and she's like, maybe New York doesn't need policing today.
Yeah, that's fine by me. Get a little bit of a break.
You've been busy.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy. The mayor hasn't called, right? He hasn't shown up. Nothing. Send a representative. Nothing like that. The
mayor. She got like squint. She's like, George, is there something you're not telling me?
Well, he was here. Whatever last week. I just make sure. Everything's okay.
Oh, that's right. Just by the sound of your voice, it's weird. It sounded like something was up. No, I haven't heard from him, or I haven't seen or heard anything from him lately.
Good. Perfect. It's last thing I need is sending me on a bunch of other errands, right?
Yeah, which is it's pretty, I don't know. I don't really like the guy that much, but it's pretty awesome when the mayor comes calling for something. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's a nice paycheck. It keeps us in this lovely establishment.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, if you give me that number, I'll, and he's like pouring himself a cup of coffee and, you know, kind of like looking at some of the things on the desk. Just give me let me have that number. I'll give that lady a call and, I'll give Brian a call back.
Okay. Sounds good. And she gives you the number for the lady. That's her name is Bunny Wilson.
Okay. So he heads into the office with his coffee, hangs up his coat and hat and, lights a smoke and kind of shuffles through some of the papers on the desk, see what else was, whatever stuff she deemed to leave, make sure there's no bills to be paid. He would probably call Bunny first. Yeah. I don't know if you want to play through that or just say that we do that or however you want to.
Yeah, for sure. You call Bunny's place. And after a long set of rings, you hear a male's voice. Hello, who is this?
I feel like George would be prepared for this, even if I'm not. I think he just says, excuse me, is this, 555-1478? And, last number is actually 7.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm sorry. You have the wrong phone number.
Sorry.
I would like, before you hang up, I would like you to roll a awareness check.
Okay. It's like a listen kind of thing.
Yeah. Like you're trying to recognize something in the gentleman's voice.
Okay. Well, awareness. Or so it's more of an insight then.
So insight. Like, yeah.
The bonus is the same for me.
Yeah.
They're all threes.
We'll make it'll be a 3 for the DL.
Okay. I got a 6.
Okay. All right. Cool. You realize that you actually know this voice. This voice is the voice of Detective Spiranew.
Ooh, don't love that. And he doesn't recognize my voice.
he doesn't actually.
So as it's crossing my mind, because I'm going to like, I called the wrong number, blah, blah, blah. I must have wrote it down wrong. When he recognizes it's Spiranew, he's just like, click.
Okay. Before you actually hang up, I'm going to give you that you would get because you rolled so high. You actually feel like he is there on a call.
Oh, he sounds more like business.
He sounds more like business.
So like he's like coming down and he's like, right, because it's Spiranew, it's not Wilson, right?
It's not Wilson, yeah.
Spiranew, it's George Armstrong.
And he like you hear like a like an awkward pause and he's like, Armstrong, what are you doing calling this residence?
So I was out of the office for a couple of days. I got a call from you hear him like pushing the papers. Bunny Wilson. She wanted me to I could tell you, she wanted me to look into her husband. She thought maybe he was, out on a little dalliance. So I was calling to talk to her. Is everything okay over there?
And he like, it's almost like he laughs, but he stifles it. And he's like, I think you're a little late. She shot him.
Ah, jeez. Well, I guess he was then. And he does kind of laugh, like,
yeah. And Spiranew like does the thing where he laughs because he's literally like genuinely like thinks it's funny but not, so he laughs and then stifles it again and he's just like, well, luckily for him he's still breathing.
Oh good, at least they won't be sending her up to Sing Sing then.
Yeah, but she's gonna be in jail for quite a bit.
Well, I mean, he kind of deserved it, right? I mean,
I'm the police. I have to be. Yeah. I mean, if there's no rules and everybody just shoots everybody for no reason. Oh, well, she had a reason, but.
Well, all right. Well, shit. I guess I'll cross this one off my list then.
Yeah, I would say case solved.
All right. Well, Take it easy. Stay safe out there.
I'll try. You too.
All right. Thanks. I'll see you.
Yep. Bye.
He's like, he hangs the phone up and he shakes his head. takes a drag off the cigarette. I mean, you have to have some sort of a dark humor with, you know, the stuff that,
yeah,
you know, especially they deal with, you know, me on a, I guess on a lesser level, but like, you know, some stuff's been pretty fucked up. So, you know. And going through the war and stuff like that, like you just have to have kind of a gallows humor to get through it.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was like, I'll give him something that he can call on. And then I was like, wait a minute, I don't want him working on that. We got a storyline to get through. So
that's a great way to solve it. That was perfect.
Case open, case closed.
Mm-hmm. I should ask him if I could send him the bill. I should have too. shit. All right. Well, then I call Brian then instead, or attempt to call Brian anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, after a couple of rings, he picks up. O'Shea.
Hey, Brian, it's George. How's it going?
George.
In the office, so that you had called.
Yeah, I just was just wanted to check up on you, man. How have you been?
You know, I'm doing good. Jane's doing good. We spent a nice weekend. So it was nice.
That's good. How is she feeling?
I mean, she's better, you know, but it's, you know, it's one of those day to day things. It's still, you know, it's still rough.
Yeah, no, I get it. As long as she's got support around her, that's good.
Yeah. She's a strong kid. She'll be all right.
Good. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you guys were okay. I mean, you've been through it. You've been through the ringer lately. And I just want to make sure that, that you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm, you know, doing what I can. Yeah, you push through some things, you know, you collapse on other things.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I understand. I want you to roll me another kind of insight, this one on Brian. This time I'm going to make this one be, it doesn't matter, you're going to kill it anyway, but I'll make it a 4.
So I rolled 2 1s. And a 6. Six and 8.
I was going to make it a 6, and I was like, God, that might be too high. No, it wouldn't have been. Okay. So you realize that he has general concern in his heart for you and stuff like that. But also he's kind of reserved and held back.
Right, which he's been sort of since the shooting of Blanker, who's not Blanker.
His
name is.
Yeah, because even though he basically said you got to do what you got to do, like he's also on the right side of the law too. So it's one of those weird conundrums for him.
Right, and yeah, so I realized because he's been distant since then, it does sound like he's actually concerned. So he does say to him, you know, I appreciate you calling. It means a lot.
Of course,
I was wondering, I was actually going to call you today anyway. My latest case, the case I'm taking, working on now is actually for Jane. Her dad, was Carson Michaels. He was, part of that Jackknife gang, maybe about, 10, 12, 15 years ago, maybe. They, robbed a couple of banks. One of the guys got kind of antsy, shot a bystander. I guess he got scared, turned himself in, turned state's evidence, you know, ran some of these guys up. One of the guy, the trigger man was Biotti, believe it or not. So, he disappeared on Jane and her mom, and, she's hell bent for leather to find him. So, I was wondering, if you knew anything about, you know, any of that.
Oh, that's interesting news. I don't think I've ever heard of this case, actually. Interesting enough. You say that
you can't solve them all, Brian.
Yeah, that's true. So you say that Concrete Biotti was a part of this gang?
Yeah, back when it was the Jackknife gang, I guess that's what they called themselves. Maybe they had the, you know, big folding knives or whatever, but yeah, he was in a movie. He was the wheel man for the gang. It's, you know, easy money. You know, I guess somebody, you know, approach them about whatever. And you know how it goes. You get caught up in a thing, you make some easy money, you get stuck in it, you know, they pull you in. So yeah, I guess, you know, after that, Biotti kind of put his own family together, you know, where he is now. So, you know, it makes sense after ratting a guy like that, you'd want to beat feet, right?
Hmm. Okay. So I'm going to stop you for a half a second just because we got one thing wrong. So it's actually, Biotti's brother that was in the Jackknife crew.
Oh, okay. Then my note is wrong.
yeah. It's okay. Yep. Let me see if I actually wrote it down. I think I wrote his name down here.
Is that Bruno Agosti?
No, that was the gangster that the Jackknife crew was working for. Michaels didn't know he was actually working for at the time. He just needed the money. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I know I have it written down. I'm just trying to think of where I've got so many damn notes. I can't remember which one is which. I think it's on my phone, actually.
So what I wrote down, which could be incorrect, one of the Jackknife crew shot a bystander in the face. It was Biotti.
Yep.
That's all I've written down.
Yep. Because I remember I think I called him Frank. Marco Biotti, maybe. Let me look. Yep. Frank Biotti's brother, Marco.
Okay. Fix my note. We can edit all this out and post. And when I say we, I mean you. Okay.
I'm going to send it all to you and make you do it. Okay.
Fuck. So, yeah, that's where things stand. I was going to head out to over to the public library, see, pull some of the old newspaper headlines, see what else. See what else I can find out. You know, I got a picture, old picture, you know. Or Jane's got pictures. I don't have anything. But yeah, just try to get a, you know, I don't know if maybe you could run down anything. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else that is really going to be relevant at this point, but yeah, I figure I'd do my due diligence, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I can maybe talk to some of the senior guys here, see if they have some information on Jackknife crew, on the Jackknife crew, that's the whole story. I'm sure there's a couple of older guys in the bullpen that might have some stories or whatever. As far as getting you any information on her dad, you know, unless it's something that was real pertinent in the story, that might be something where if he, beat feet, like you said, might not have a lot of information on it, but on him or whatever, but I'll see what I can dig up. You're going to have to probably give me a couple of days. It's been kind of busy around here.
Yeah. No worries. We're going to take the train up to Maine. We might make a stop, maybe two stops up on the way. I guess we'll see how it's going. And I'm going to try to talk her out of it, but she's headstrong, you know, and I mean, I get it. It's her dad. I mean, whatever she needs to work through, whatever she's got to say, I don't want to take it away from her, but you know, so
yeah,
I'm just assuming, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. My old man passed away when I was really young, so I can understand you want to try to find out where you came from, who you are. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, how's Mary and the kids?
Good. They're good. Mary just got a promotion. Nice. Kids are doing good, keeping up with their studies. So yeah, everything's pretty good. Wasn't this job dragging me down, life would be pretty sweet right now.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I just want to let you know the your line's clear, right? You're good. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Just be careful, okay? The mayor's not all that he seems to be, if you catch my drift.
You know, with how the mayors have been going recently, I'm not shocked that's coming out of your mouth.
He's got some interesting friends, let's say. So just be safe, okay?
I will. I know for a fact he's not really a big fan of this department. So I'll definitely keep my ear to the ground and keep my chin up.
Yeah, I'm guessing he had a lot of friends 6-8 months ago before you find yourself where you are now.
Makes sense. Old out with the old, in with the new, they say.
Mm-hmm. I think his kid's on the up and up. I don't think he's got anything to do with it. You remember all that business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just, you know, just stay clear if you can.
Yep. I will.
All right, Brian. Thanks. I'll, when we get up to Maine, I'll give you a buzz. If you find something great, if not, you know, I appreciate you taking a look.
Of course.
All right. You take it easy. Stay safe out there.
All right. You too.
All right. I think he probably pushes some papers around and, you know, maybe writes out a couple of checks. I think it's towards the end of the month, mm-hmm. you know, pays the rent, whatever.
Phone. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he probably does like work for like an hour or two. You know? Like, there's tons of paperwork. There's shit you got to file, like, you know, just like grunt work, PI stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Closing out files and, you know, whatever Jane's not doing.
Yeah, yep.
But so I think he probably stays till like lunch.
Okay.
And then he says to Janice, "Hey, I'm gonna head out. I'm gonna grab some lunch. You want anything? You want to bring something back? I gotta hit the library. But if you want something, I'll run down the street and come back."
Actually, I've got. And she kind of smiles. She's like, "I got my special guy bringing me something a little later, so you don't have to worry about me."
All right, good. Just you know, don't mess up the office too much.
And she laughs. She's like, "Wait a minute. Do you want to be the pot or the kettle today? Which one?"
You know. All right. Well, I'll call before I come back then.
It's not that kind of relationship.
Okay. You know, he holds his hands up. And he puts his hat on, you know, kind of pulls on the brim. He says, I'll probably stop back after. And then, Jane and I are going to head out. We're going to be heading up to Maine. So anything that calls, just let them know I'm going to be out of town for a little bit. And, you know, if it's still pressing, we'll get to it. You know, we get back.
And she kind of sits up a little bit. She's like, "Oh, going for an out of town soiree, huh?"
Well, I wish it was. I wish it was like that. Yeah, I mean, kind of. But Jane's trying to track down her dad. I think he pulls the invoice out of his pocket or whatever, right? Because like they did paperwork or whatever. He says, "Yeah, you can put this one on the top of the stack," and you know, just puts the bill down.
Yeah, yeah. And she kind of looks and she's like, "You're being hired. Interesting."
Yeah, I told her I just do it, but you know, she wanted to make it all official. So yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I suppose make it on the up and up just in case something were to happen.
What could happen?
And she like laughs out loud on that, and she says, "I'll make sure that if it's nothing pressing, I know some." And like, you know, for a fact, like, you know, a couple of local PIs in town and stuff like that. And she's like, "If it's nothing pressing, maybe I'll just pass that on to someone else. But if it's something that needs your attention, I'll make sure I write it down for you."
Yeah, PIs are like the podcasters of the 50s. We all have our own.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah, no, that works. I'm going to spread the wealth a little bit. I'll call you before I let you know. If you want to work your full time, I'll pay you for your full time. You know, you know the drill.
Mm-hmm. I'll keep everything spick and span.
All right. I'll catch you later.
All right.
And he probably goes to a diner, grabs a cup of coffee, you know, some greasy food. And then, we'll head over to the library.
Nice. Yep. So you head over to the public library. Everything seems pretty, pretty dead for a Tuesday. Not too many people inside. You have free roam of whatever you want to look at. If you want to look at newspaper articles, if you want to look through books, you can. So you're just looking for anything on the Jackknife Crew?
Yeah, so I think we established before that microfiche was a thing at this point.
Yep.
So he, you know, probably does that. He's got the time frame ish. I guess maybe he'd ask the librarian if they're whizzed at all that stuff, right? Like, I don't, I'm not.
Yeah.
to see if they know or can point him in the right direction or closer time frame. Like he's just guessing, like Jane's this age, you know, she was this old when he left, and
yeah,
you
know, for sure.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, for sure. So like, yeah. So like the librarian that's there, she's like, yeah, of course. She's like, you know, you tell her a certain like date, you know, range of dates, you know, and she's like, here, I'll take you to here. And she's like, she, you know, and I don't know how the microfiche works. I think they're in roles, I think, if I can remember right.
It's been so long. I can't remember. I think so. Like you load it in and then it like spins through, right?
Spins through it. Yeah.
Kind of like,
yeah. You know, and that's yeah. at a huge like square screen that's, you know, the right, light refracts and stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and she's like, well, you know, it might take you a little bit just because the time frame is, you know, a little loose or whatever, but she's like, you know, whatever you're looking for, if it was that big of a deal, has to be within, it's got to be here.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. You want me to leave these here when I'm done, or you want me to try to put them back?
Actually, whenever you're done with it, just let me know and I'll take care of it.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're so very welcome.
So he takes off his coat. You know, he's already got his hat off because he's inside. And yeah, he'll like, you know, take the lid off the box, flip to the first one, and you know, start like he's just scanning headlines to see for when something clicks, bank robbery, you know, mob trial. Like he's like almost like his eyes are unfocused, kind of looking for those words to kind of like scratch at the eyeball sort of thing. So he can get through them a little bit faster, you know, maybe a little bit faster until he sort of zooms in. Like, I don't know. He wouldn't look at every day necessarily because something like that, like bank robberies might be in the headlines for 2 or 3 days. There's multiple, you know, bank robberies in a relatively short period of time. It should show up in like, you know, it's not going to be one isolated paper, right? Like you were.
Yeah.
So he's trying to, you know, do it more efficiently, I guess, or, you know, try to cheat a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You're just looking, you know, it's all, you know, you're trying to look for keywords almost. Cause it's like, even going through all those newspapers and newspaper articles and stuff like that. Like if you're trying to look like for like every little specific thing, you could get yourself lost for days. You could, you know, your eyes cross, you could miss it in a blink or whatever. So we're gonna have this be a role for you. We're gonna have this be an investigation role since you're kind of investigating these articles or whatever. I'm gonna make it a high one, even though it doesn't need to be. I feel like you get off too easy with these things. So we're gonna make the DL a 6. Research. Yeah, search is good too. I feel like, yeah, it's true.
Oh, you got me on that one. I 2 threes and a 1, so that's going to be a 5.
Okay, so it's a no but. Oh, yes but. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Missed by one. Yes, but.
Missed by one. No. Oh no, you're right. No,
that's a no but. Yeah, it's a no but. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So you're looking around and you're looking for a specific thing. So you're looking for jackknife, you're looking for bank robbery, you know, that kind of thing. Like you're really scrolling through and like nothing is like really, really hitting or whatever. And, the librarian comes up to you and she's like, this is something that, I don't know. I just had some extra time and you know, Do you just tell her the specific dates? You don't tell her what exactly you're looking for, do you?
Yeah, no, I think you would have. There's no reason not to.
Okay.
I'm researching the string of bank robberies that were 10 to 15 years ago. This was the name of the gang.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So she's like, I was just looking at some of our backlogged newspapers, which, to tell you the truth, are kind of a mess. And I happen upon this. I don't know if this will help you. And she slaps it down in front of you. And it says, trying to think of what the article would say, like Jackknife Gang gets snatched or something like that. Like something fun that they would have had back then. You know, I just gets cuffed or the Jackknife Crew gets curbed or something like that. And it talks about exactly what you exactly some of the things that you know, that they're the Jackknife crew. They worked for was it Bruno Agosti? Is that who I said it was?
I think so. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. And then the whole crew was accosted, including, and they like say you get mention of Marco Biotti's name. Let's see, three other gentlemen. I'm not going to tell you the names because that's just not relevant. And what's missing is Carson Michael's name from it,
which I feel like makes sense, right? Because he's the one that turned state's evidence. So
that
checks out, right?
yeah, for sure.
So he takes the paper and she puts it down and he's like, oh, you know, he starts reading it. You know, he's going through and he's like, I'll be damned. This is what I was looking for.
And she smiles, like you can tell, like she loves her job, but like nothing exciting like this ever happens. So she's like really happy with herself. And she's like, I'm really glad I could help.
This is great. I'd have been here all night trying the way I was going. I couldn't find anything.
I know a lot of people like to spend their nights here, but I'm glad that you didn't have to.
Oh, thank you. I definitely appreciate it. Can I, Xerox machines or anything at that time?
Ooh, I don't think so. I'm trying to think. They might have a boy.
Well, I could write down the pertinence in my notebook, right? If push comes to shove, right? Like I don't need it word for word.
Come on. My phone is telling me things, but then I can't click on them to see. They have hectograph printing in the 1940s, which is a copier. I know, right? I'm like, I don't know what that means either. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I feel like, yeah, they probably wouldn't have. I mean, it's New York, so maybe they'd have something. But because you're an old school detective or PI or whatever, you'd probably write everything down in your little notebook.
Mm-hmm. I write down all the names. I mark the date when the gang was busted. Mm-hmm. Whatever the pertinence are.
Sure.
And then I ask her. I have this date here, so trial up ahead a little bit. Could you point me in the right direction for like the next set of microfiche? Maybe you're looking for stuff on the trial then.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. So then she centers it more because obviously you have a date now, you know. And again, I'm not gonna give everybody the date just because I know we like to do that, but I wasn't prepared for that, and we're not gonna do it. Which again is not that important or not that pertinent right now. So, yeah, she'll give you that little piece of microfiche or whatever. I won't have you roll for it this time. You know, it just says Jackknife crew guilty. And then it'll talk about unknown witness comes forward in the, trying to think of the surprise witness, maybe. Surprise witness comes forward in the case of the Jackknife crew. And then, testimony of dates and times of certain bank robberies throughout New York State, you know, and the mayor of that time promises to, you know, put them away for life. And, you know, and then you're searching a little bit longer and then it shows everyone's found guilty, sentenced to life. And then you have this little bit of an inkling, like maybe I should search a little further just in case. And you find out that Biotti's brother is actually killed in jail.
Hmm.
It actually doesn't tell you who does it. It just says that he was stabbed to death in county jail.
Yeah, prison shanking that.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, this confirms everything that I knew. Gives me that little tidbit of information, which, okay. Yeah, so I imagine he's there for, you know, probably a couple of hours. If he's there for after lunch, right? It's probably close to five, right? Like that's not a quick task.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I guess he probably did. Jane say whether or not she was working tonight?
Because no,
we would have had that conversation.
Yeah, maybe. She did. It was a kind of a lot of a like a information dump for her, so you know, maybe she doesn't, maybe you don't know that she's working at all, because she's just so distraught and so surprised by kind of what she finds out about her father. Maybe, no, not that I think about it. Yeah, why wouldn't she? You know, why wouldn't she have told you? Because especially if you were going to spend the night previous. Yeah, let's just say she decides she's going to call in. She's like, I'm just going to, oh, how about this? How about she says that she's going to call in and talk about getting a couple of days off so she can head out. So
that makes sense.
Call in? No. Okay. I changed it a million times. I'm changing it again. I'm going to say she's working. She goes in and she says she's going to talk to her boss about taking a couple of days off to find her father. And she's like, I've talked to my father or talked to my father. I've talked to my boss. He actually knows that I don't know my father and kind of my story. Not the extent that, you know, but yeah. So she's like, I think I can talk him into giving me a few days off.
Okay. Then I probably head over to the Glow then.
Nice.
Once okay. I wrap up, like, I assume Janice is used to me not coming back when I say I'm coming back. So she just like shrugs and turns off the lights at 5 and
yeah.
locks the door.
Yeah. Well, and also you are aware that she is a great assistant. Like she can do everything on her own. She doesn't like, I mean, this is kind of a weird way to say it. She doesn't really need you to be around, you know, she knows, you know, you have things to do and she can, you know, do her things while you're doing your thing. So,
yeah, no, she runs the office. I mean, she's
exactly. Exactly.
She has everything squared away.
Yeah. It's almost like she runs the office. You're the puppet. That's kind of how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So you go to the glow and you said this is probably around 5-6 o'clock, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I don't know what time the library would close, but like, yeah, I'm assuming by the time I get over to the Glow, it's 5:30, maybe,
for sure.
Maybe 6 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So it's getting into the later hours where, you know, like if a band is going to be playing, they're kind of setting up, or if there's someone that's going to be singing, they're kind of, you know, getting ready for their show. It's almost like a shift change, like the guy that's the bouncer that doesn't really like you, that's been seeing Evie isn't working, he switches, and it's wow, I'm forgetting my own character's names.
Bill.
What's that?
Bill? Is it Bill?
Bill, yeah. Yep. And so like Bill sees you and he's like, ah, Vulture, haven't seen you in a bit. How you been?
Good, Bill. How's it going? How you been?
Well, you know what? I'm in one piece. You look like you're one piece.
Yeah, he kind of pats himself down.
It's weird because, and again, I'll probably take this out, but for some reason I feel like I think of this guy being like a like nicer, almost like more interesting Mike Tyson for some reason. I see that like him in my head for some reason, but not the mm-hmm. not the dipshit asshole that Mike Tyson is, but kind of like Mike Tyson were nice and kind of a big boxer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, yeah, you know, it's been good lately. I'm good to see you. You know, I've heard you've been kind of falling to pieces a little bit, you know, getting yourself in trouble here. I'm glad. Good to see you. Like you're actually upright.
Yeah, no. I'm good. I'm good. You know, it's he like looks around, says, you know, things are a little, you know, they're weird in here sometimes. So I just, you know, it's in with Jane. Maybe try to stay away a little bit, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. Speaking of interesting, Evie's gonna be playing a little set tonight, and she's kind of hot tonight, like not in a good way, like in a bad way. So just a little FYI for you.
I'll have to grab a seat in the back, I guess.
Yeah, I would, you know, maybe kind of fade into the shadows, if you know what I mean.
What are the new boy toy dumper or what?
Yeah, you could say that.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah, she'll be on a rampage then. She don't like when anybody turns her down.
Mm-hmm. You could say that. All right, well, I'm gonna let you be. I gotta let some people in here. Maybe throw some people out, you know, that kind of thing, you know, just another day in the life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, keep your eyes up, Bill. You might be next on her list. She's working her way through the whole place.
Oh, no. I get, you know about you, me, you know me and Mary, we're like this. And he like puts his fingers together. He's like, no, I don't need any of that drama.
And then like he brings his hands up and like throw, you know, gives him like a, you know, a half jab. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And he does this. He playfully does that too. He's like, oh, you know, that kind of thing or whatever. He's like,
well, you almost got me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he kind of like puts his fist kind of on your cheek and just kind of pushes a little bit. And he's like, all right, get out of here.
It's as big as my head.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You look like a child compared to him.
Shit. So yeah, I go and look for Jane.
For sure.
I assume she's still working the coat room, I guess. So like he would go to check his coat anyway, and then, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Go see how for she's sure. Hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So she sees you, whatever. She's like, George.
Hey, how you doing? How's it going here?
Oh, I'm doing good. Guess what? I got a couple of days off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You talked to Sturm, huh?
I did. He, you know, sometimes he can be kind of a stickler or whatever, but, you know, I give him a little sad story. He's a pushover.
All right, good. Is he... You still paying you for your music? You sell him anything else?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, okay, so don't be mad, but I did sell a couple of my songs to Evie.
Hey, it's some money in your pocket. That's okay. Get your name out there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's interesting? I don't know. Mr. Stern, he gets a little excited about things, but he's actually talking about, like, maybe getting Evie into a studio and recording something.
You don't say.
Yeah. I mean, it's my song. I mean, so obviously, like, I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. No, congratulations. That's awesome.
Oh, well, I mean, I tell you, this is George, and she kind of puts her hand on your shoulder. She was like, this is a dream for me. I want this so bad.
I hope he follows through. That'll be a big step.
Me too. And she's like, It's weird because it's almost like she goes from like complete elation to like almost like she wants to cry, and then she kind of holds it back and she just kind of smiles.
Yeah, I mean, I think he steps forward and puts his arms around her, gives her a hug, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says, first the glow, next thing you know, it'll be Carnegie Hall.
And she laughs and she says, oh, I would just love to hear it on the radio. That's my dream. I would love. And then she like almost gets another sad look on her face again. She's like, I would love for my dad to hear it.
Well, you know, if this trip is successful, and maybe it'll happen.
I hope so. So do you get any information that you're looking for? And like, she knows like you're out there looking for something, even if you didn't tell her. She's like, she can read you pretty easily.
Yeah. I spent a couple hours over at the library searching through the microfiche. Man, he like rolls his shoulders and he rolls his neck. He's, man, it's I must have been sitting there for a couple hours. Most of what I found, pretty much confirmed, you know, what your ma said. You know, there was a unknown secret witness, you know, to, you know. He starts to say ratted out the gang, and then is like, you know, informed on the associates, you know, no mention of his name, which I guess is good. But I mean, they all would have known, right? I mean, that's not no secret there. He didn't go, they didn't send him to Sing Sing. So, you know, yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, we got the information we have.
That's awesome. Or that's not, she would never say that. She's like, that's great. She says, I actually got some information myself.
You did?
She says, I went down to line. Let's see. I went down to New York Central Railroad, and I booked us a train ticket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How else are we gonna get to Maine, right? I have a car living in the city. Do you get dinner yet? You take a break?
She says, no, I haven't. We can. Yeah.
So like he takes her hand and, you know, the walk out. And again, he walks to like someplace dark in the back of the thing to stay out of eye line, I guess. Yeah, and he'll like wave at, you know, one of the girls to come over and, you know, take an order and all that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So yeah, he waits, you know, they'll order drinks, you know, I guess they order food and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, while they're just kind of sitting there in a sort of a comfortable silence, like I'm sure she's still, you know, talking about, you know, oh, it'd be cool for this. And, you know, she's, you know, oh, Evie's on tonight. She's going to sing another one of my songs, blah, 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 whatever. You know, he's like, you know, he leans forward and he takes her hand, right, but in both of his. And, you know, he looks at her in the eyes and he says, I know I'm not going to be able to convince you otherwise, but are you sure you don't want to wait here while I go up and, you know, kick the hornet's nest a little bit? You know, might, you know, maybe he's moved on, you know, maybe, I mean, he seems like he wants to see you. So like, that's good and all, you know, it might not be what you think it's going to be. And I, you know, I don't want you to get, you know, I don't want you to be hurt any more than you already are.
And she like takes a moment and kind of thinks about it, and she squeezes your hand and she says, I know you already know this, but we probably are in the same boat. We've both been through a lot lately, and there's too many things that I've let kind of slip past me in my life, that if I were to just let you go there and see what happens, and let's just say he's there and I miss out, I would never forgive myself.
He doesn't sag, but he, you know, relaxes a little bit. Like he had kind of stiffened up. So I'm not sure what the response would be. And he says, look, I get it. You know, if my pop, you know, left me and my mom, I don't know that I'd go looking for him and, you know, looking for a good outcome. I might want to go and find them and kick his ass. So I mean, I get it. I mean, it's your dad. You know, you want to have some, you know, some kind of connection, you know, find out. I mean, I just don't want you to get hurt.
And she squeezes your hand again really tight this time. And she says, I'm real fond of you, George. You know that, but you can't protect me from everything.
I guess he gets kind of a lopsided grin. And he says, well, you know, I could try my best. You know, it's been, I already regret, you know, what happened, you know, with everything. So I've got a little bit to make up for, you know.
And she continues to hold your hand and she says, what happened was not your fault. That was the situation's fault. That was Ace's fault. Like we could have been walking down the street, and, you know, a bus could have hit us, you know, that let's not blame us for something that we can't control, truly control.
He's uncomfortable with this. Like he's kind of shifting. He's a little bit antsy. Like his eyes flick away. Like he's can't help but blame himself for mm-hmm. what happened. Right. Like there's like she, like he intellectually understands that she's correct. But also is like, you know, if she hadn't come over that night, you know, she would have never got hurt. If this, then that, right? Like it's 1950s. He's not going to therapy, right? Like it's just,
yeah,
it's all bottled up. It's all, you know, not great.
Which makes sense. That's George's personality. So of course he's not going to accept that.
So I don't think he says anything. I think he just lifts her hand up, you know, from the table and just kisses the back of her hand. And then, you know, kind of, you know, leans back a little bit, like, let's go over here, and kind of like leans back more casually. And, you know, they just shoot the shit, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you kind of talk about some things. She tells you about the train ticket. She said that like, it leaves the station at 7:00. It will take about 9 hours to get there. There is one stop in Boston. You can ask for another stop, but it'll cost extra. And she's like, I don't know if we really need that, but that's up to you, kind of thing.
Well, I know you're, you know, you want to get up to Maine. You know, maybe you want to spend the night up in Boston and maybe see the city a little bit. You know, not like a vacation, but you know, I mean, How many times are we going to go up to Boston, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. She says, I've heard like all sorts of wonderful things, but I've never been. That sounds like that would be a treat.
Yeah, we should definitely do it.
And like, she like shakes her head and like affirmative, like she's just like, well, then it's settled. You know, it's like, there's no talking us out of it. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, again, you kind of talk.
I was just going to say, it gives them a chance to reconnect a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
The way things have been over the last couple months. So right, they get to, you know, sort of relax and meet each other's company and like, you know, go out and have some fun.
Yes.
You know, with this thing lingering in the background, you know, kind of push that away for a little bit, go out, have dinner, you know, do whatever. And, you know, just try to, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So you guys kind of get lost in the night, and before you know it, Evie is on stage, and even though Jane knows your history, and you know, you don't know for sure, actually, I don't think we've ever talked about this, if exactly how you know if, wow, words, you don't know how Jane feels about Evie at all, really. She's never really expressed like, I really don't like her.
I think at one point, maybe in like season 3 or 4, she said that she was friendly with Evie, or like Evie was trying to be friends with her, or
yeah,
but you know, left kind of like, oh yeah, you know, like, you know, she's been nice to me or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, it's probably like that friendly coworker thing where like, not, you know, nothing bad has happened, but nothing great has happened either. So she's on stage and she's about to sing, and like, she like taps your leg. She's like, oh, my song.
So I, you know, I give her hand a squeeze, and then I, you know, turn with her to face the stage to, you know, take in the, you know, appreciate the music.
Yes. Yep. And like, and the song is about, for lack of a better term, like star-crossed lovers and just kind of like fate intertwining between the two. It's quite a, it's not a somber tune, but it's a very like almost emotional sounding tune. And it kind of, the music swells and like everybody really focuses in on it and really enjoys it. And it's like, nobody's like smiling or tapping their feet, but they're really just like in awe of the song itself, the way it's delivered, the music behind it. And, you know, you look to Jane and it's like, oh, you almost see like a little bit of a tear come out of her eye because she's just like so proud of this moment and that she's able to share it with all these people and that everybody is just involved in it.
Does Evie, I guess, mom, so I don't know, would she introduce the song, or like maybe afterwards, right? Maybe she comes out and belts out the song, right? Like, doesn't say a word, comes out on stage, lights come up, and she just like launches into this.
What I see is I see that she just introduces the song, but she doesn't say anything else. She just says, this is blah, blah, blah. And then that, just that's what I'm goes wondering. Into it.
Whether or not she says, you know, written by our own, you know.
No, she doesn't. No, she just says the title and just gets right into it. Because like she, you know how some singers, they don't write their own music. They have other people that sing for them. But they don't ever, a lot of them, unless they're in like a concert, will be like, this is written by my good friend, blah, blah, blah. So most of the time they'll be like, this is this song, and then just go into it. So that's what she does.
Okay. All right. I guess that's probably not weird, right? Because Ella Fitzgerald isn't like, hey, this song's written by, you know, Joe Blow, and I'm singing it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I mean, I feel like George feels that too, right? Because it's, I mean, really, it's a song about us, right? Or how Jane is processing, you know, what this is, and you know, the experiences of the last few months. So I feel like that resonates with him too, right? Because it's been some shit. right? And he's got all sort of like, you know, bottled up guilt about everything. So I think he hits, I think it hits him harder than he thinks it's going to.
Nice.
What does he say? I don't know that he can. I don't know. Like, he trusts himself to say anything when it's done. Right. Like, everybody claps. He claps. He looks at James, you know, it's obviously beaming or whatever. And I think he just gives her a kiss on the cheek.
Nice.
And doesn't trust himself to say stuff.
Yeah.
Because again, it's like, it's the 1950s, right? Like, I think, like, you know, as much as we play without a lot of the elements from that, right? Like, not the racism and all the other stuff. They still feel like there's a semblance of, like, some of the things, like, maybe that emotional sort of wall that feel like probably still present, right? Like, he's open on a lot of things, right? As far as how we've played it, but I still feel like it makes sense character wise that he still kind of has a little bit of that.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, if you didn't notice, I'll just kind of point this out to you and the people listening. Like, even when Jane was talking to you before and you were talking about if she wanted to go see her dad or not, like, he said, or she said, that she's very fond of you. Now, she could have said, I love you dearly, but she held back because, like, she really likes you, but maybe she's afraid to say it.
Maybe
she doesn't know she loves you. Maybe she does and is afraid to say it to you because of how, where you're at emotionally too. Yeah, exactly. And you guys are going, yeah, you guys going off together too. Like, that's a big step too. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's definitely that pensiveness, if that's a word, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, you both know you like each other. It's just, you're both also holding back.
Yeah. She has a lot of history prior, plus all this bullshit that happened. And then, you know, the stuff with Evie, and then she's here with all that. And then the thing that happened with Evie, like, there's a lot of stuff kind of in the...
There is a lot. And if you think about it too, like, to tell you the truth, both of your characters, hers and yours, have been through a lot. So the fact that you two are going away, even though you're doing a job technically, like, that's pretty big for your relationship.
Right.
So yeah. So unless you want to play out the rest of the night, I'll just say, like, it's, you know, a halfway decent night for a Tuesday, you know, that kind of thing. Nothing big, not a big shindig, but come people here and there, they come in, they see, you know, Evie's not the only one that's there. You know, there's a couple other groups that play their music and that kind of thing. The night kind of wears on, and you can either decide to retire to each other's places before you get ready for the morning, which actually would make more sense, especially if you're going to pack for a trip, or you could pack tonight and then, you know, one of you could stay over or whatever. That's up to you.
I think, well, so, like, she goes back to work, I guess, at some point, right?
Like, oh, that's like, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
We're like having all of these things are sort of swirling around and about us. And then she's like, oh shit, you know, like, I have to go back to work. And he's like, ah, fuck. All right. So I think he, you know, he probably stays, you know, for a little while longer, has a drink or two, you know, whatever. Like, he's also trying to process stuff, like all the stuff that we just talked about. And I think, he stops on the way out. Obviously, he's got his coat anyway, and says, and it's relatively early, right? Like, maybe it's like 10.
Yeah.
And I don't know how late, you know, Jane's shift would be if she's there till, you know, 11 or midnight or whatever. He says, so I'm gonna head back, and I gotta pack a bag. You wanna come to my place? You want me to come over? Do you want to meet in the morning? How do you want to handle it?
She says, I think I have to figure out what I'm going to bring. And, like, she's like, she kind of like goes back into herself a little bit. And I think she kind of realizes what's going to be happening for these next couple of days or whatever. And she just kind of says, I just want to make sure that I have everything for the morning, that I get a good night's rest for. And she like almost kind of like does the like, you know, like yee kind of thing, like what's ahead, basically.
Like he reaches out and he like, you know, puts a hand on her, not like on top of her shoulder, but like, you know, kind of grips her upper arm, you know, gently, and says, it's going to be okay.
And she like kind of shakes her head a little bit. It's like she wants to say something, but it's just the words don't want to come out. So she just kind of shakes her head and she says, okay. Sounds good.
He leans in, he gives her a hug and a kiss then at that point when she's kind of like,
For sure.
That way, like, you don't have to say anything. It's fine.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just say like the railroad's just like in between your houses. So let's just say like you'll decide to meet like 6:30 or something like that, just to make sure that you guys are at a certain time to where you don't miss anything, or if there's a hustle and bustle in the morning that, you know, nothing, you know, prevents you from getting on that train.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you go to your separate places of rest. Just because, again, I don't like fast forwarding, because it always seems like you have something to talk about or you want to deal with. So is there something you do when you get home? Do you pack and go right to bed? What happens?
So I, you know, he comes in, he kind of like tosses the hat on the sofa, you know, hangs up his coat, you know, undoes the tie, all that kind of stuff. He's, you know, see him going through some of the cabinets. I think he pulls out a, you know, a bottle of bourbon or whiskey, whichever, and, you know, pours himself, you know, maybe two fingers. It's not, you know, it's not super late. He's feeling things. You know, they're leaving tomorrow. Like, he's got a pack and stuff, right? So I think he just sort of absently, you know, turns on the radio and, you know, goes through the day's mail. Like, he's a person living life. He's doing all the things, you know. He might, if it's not super cold, he might crack the window. And, he, you know, at some point he goes in and he gets, like, a little suitcase and, you know, he's going through the drawers and he's, you know, grabbing clean clothes and, you know, he takes the pistol off and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, he puts that in the holster with the, you know, extra magazine, like, you know, all that stuff goes. Well, I don't know that he would put that in the suitcase if they're going to pack that. And I guess he probably doesn't do that. Leaves it on the table then to make sure that he has that in the morning. And, you know, just goes through the motions of, you know, kind of getting himself ready and not dealing with stuff that's bubbling up. he doesn't get hammered. He doesn't stay up super late because they have to be up early. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you kind of think on kind of the events of the night and these feelings that you're having and stuff like that. You don't really say anything out loud to yourself or anything like that, but you just kind of let those linger as you do your things. And then eventually you head into bed. You wake up early the next day. I'm assuming you probably put a pot of coffee on, have a smoke, kind of get ready for the day, that kind of thing.
Steak and eggs, cup of coffee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Yep. Just the hustle and the bustle of the morning, just like you normally would do. And then you get your stuff ready. You head out, hail a taxi, make sure that you're there at the railroad in time to meet up with Jane. You get there. She is actually there before you are. Not surprisingly, she's there with bells on, waiting to go in a very beautiful red dress.
Okay. He takes it as he walks up. He might like actually stop, you know, and you know, give her the once over kind of thing, which sounds shitty, but you know, appreciatively, right? Like, oh shit,
yes,
I didn't realize you were gonna be all dressed up because I'm sort of rumpled because it's 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and yeah, it's really not a surprise to you though, because she's always been kind of that way, you know. She dresses nicely even for the small things.
Mm-hmm. I think he comes up with like a, you know, like a thing, you know, holder with coffee and, you know, like bagels and cream cheese and stuff like that. Not sure if she would have eaten in the morning. So like he grabs that stuff on the way. If not, you know, we'll have a little snack later.
Yeah.
I don't know if I assume at that time if there would be like a food car.
Mm, there might be. Feels like back then they had stuff like that.
I would think.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if nothing else,
you're making me look up more stuff. oops. Oh, God. Spell check. Thank you. Stop it. Well, let's find out. So, yeah, it says that a very few would have them. But, you know what? This is New York, you know, going out and, you know, a lot of people hustle and bustle going to different places. So, yeah, let's just say, like, there's a dining car.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think when he comes up, he, you know, gives her a hug and a peck on the cheek. And he's like, I wasn't sure if you, you know, you had time for breakfast. So I figured I'd stop and, you know, grab us a little something.
And then she's like, oh, you thought of me. Yeah, no, I had a little bite, but you know what? I could probably have something else.
Yeah, great. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you know, you kind of take each other's hand, you're walking down, you're a little nervous, you know, that kind of thing. Like it's actually super busy in the morning. So like there's people just left and right going through, you have to kind of make your way through or whatever, side by side, kind of shuffling and stuff like that. People really busy trying to get, you know, from here to there kind of thing. She hands her tickets to the ticket person. What would you say? Yeah, to one of the person. Yeah, I'm trying to think. What do they call those people that take your tickets or whatever? The
conductors,
the proctors. Is that what you just said?
Conductor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. So you hand to the conductor. He riffs off part of whatever, gives the other half to you guys or whatever, and he's like, yeah, have a safe trip.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll stuff the bags, I guess, if there's bags in our little, like, I'm imagining those, like, the bench seats that you see in the movies where, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of like, it's not a compartment, but kind of like a little compartment with the, you know, like, sort of bench seat on either side.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So you kind of shove your stuff on the side so you can actually sit or whatever, you know, and it's again, another beautiful day. You kind of, before you know it, you just kind of, the train kind of takes off and you're kind of staring at each other. And it almost seems surreal that you're taking this trip together. It's, you know, the first part of the trip, you know, let's just say like the first hour is pretty uneventful. You know, you're both kind of getting your bearings. You're both trying to figure out like, you're like, okay, how do I, you know, how am I going to, what am I going to do when I get there? What are we going to do when we get to Boston? You can tell she's kind of playing like, you know, what do I say to my father if I see him? You know, this is, you know, you almost can read her face. Like, this is like a big trip for me too, because of George. And like, you could tell, like, every once in a while, she'll like look at you. She'll like think of what she's thinking of. And you could tell she's looking off the side. And then she'll just like, oh, you're here. So like, she'll like smile and just kind of like look at you and that kind of thing. And she says, well, we haven't really talked that much, but I was thinking about it last night, actually, and I felt like I dreamt it, but I remember a few things about my dad. I would like to tell you if you're willing.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Like he reaches into his pocket to get the notebook out and a, you know, pencil or pen or whatever. And he's like, you mind if I write it down? It might be useful, right? I mean,
yeah. She's like, she giggles. She's like, I am paying you.
I almost forgot.
And she laughs and she says, she's like, yeah, I remember like my dad would, like, before the before what happened or whatever, like, we seemed very inseparable. Like, I think I remember, like, he'd always call me his little princess, and I remember that that he was always dressed really nicely, even though, well, nice for him, I guess, because I think I remember my mom saying that he worked as a worked at a factory for manufactured car parts. And but it always seemed like, even though he had a job that where he'd always get his hands greasy, you know, it, to me, it always seemed like he always, like, was dressed to the nines. He's always, you know, looking the part of someone that lives higher than their station, kind of thing. He was always always had a smile on his face and always had the right thing to say. I remember that he loved his jazz, and he loved food. And, like, I remember we'd have tea parties. I remember that he got me this little tea set. We'd have little tea parties, and I had this nice pink dress, and he'd always say, "Only the best for you, madam," he'd always say to me, and I would always giggle. I think I remember that, like, at any time where he got a bonus or, like, he would save some money. And I remember that he was always, like, every once in a while he'd bring home lobster. Like, that was, like, his thing. Like, he even though we didn't have a lot of money, like, he always wanted to, for us to have some of the finer things. And, like, we, you know, they'd have some wine, and I would have some, like, grape juice, and that would be, like, my drink. And he'd always, like, I think he told me that one day he would just love to, like, fish for, like, lobster and, like, crab and stuff like that, and just so people like us could, like, know really what good living, good eating is. So, like, the fact that he went to Maine, like, I feel like that's, like, it's like serendipity.
And, like, he's nodding along, and he's putting some things together, and he's like, "Oh, this makes sense. Like, yeah, he robbed banks because he wanted to spend more money than he could get, you know, go to." He doesn't say any of that. But, like, he's putting pieces together and just sort of nodding. Oh, that's great. He had tea parties. That's, you know, fantastic, you know, blah, 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 whatever. You know, my dad, you know, told me to go mow the grass, you know, like that kind of thing. He could pipe in little things here and there. He says, "Well, you know, if, you know, maybe the first thing we do is, Portland on the coast. I remember."
Yes.
Okay. There's Portland makes sense. You know, if you, finally maybe decided, do his lobster fishing, maybe we, check out the pier, look for a guy with a boat. Who knows?
And she's like, her eyes light up. She's like, "Oh man, wouldn't that be exciting if, like, that's where he ended up being? That would be swell."
You gotta imagine that's probably a pretty dirty job. It's a lot of backbreaking labor pulling up them little crab bags or whatever.
That's true, but I remember my mom saying that he was the hardest working in his business. So, you know, maybe that's just his deal. Like, maybe he just, you know, he's just loves to be hardworking.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. And just as you guys kind of finish that conversation, a song comes on the radio, and you recognize it to be a song called "My Happiness" by John and Sandra Steele. And Jane's eyes light up, and she says, I dance to this. This can't be. Shit. That's not going to work. Okay, I'm gonna do that differently, just because I thought of it, and I was like, wait, that's not how that's gonna work. Okay, let's just say she says, "This, oh my god, this sounds like exactly like a song that me and my dad used to dance to all the time." And she, like, gets up in the middle of the car and, like, kind of, like, smooths her dress, and then she kind of, like, walks a couple steps and twirls, and then just kind of giggles. And she holds out her hand to you, and she's like, "Mr. Armstrong, May I have this dance?
He smiles and gets up and takes her hand and, you know, gives her a spin and then, you know, pulls her back in close and dips her and follow along with the music.
Yeah, for sure. And as the music kind of swells, the people in the other carts at first are kind of like shocked and surprised about what's happening or whatever. And then as they see you two kind of dance to the beat of the song or whatever, everybody kind of gets smiles on their face as the city itself and the scenery just kind of flies by. And we kind of see a pan out shot of from you inside the cart to the outside of the train to where the train is kind of heading at the time.
Evening shadows make me blue when each weary day is through. Oh, I long to be with you.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.